Now, without further ado, I'm now about to hand the mic over to Pastor Craig. Give him a welcome.
Morning, church. How are we? Lively today. As you know, more than two people said hello back. That's nice. That's nice. Well, I hope you're well. I'm expectant this morning that we're going to leave these walls changed. So will you pray with me before we break into the word this morning? Father God, I just thank you that we can come into your house so freely. Hear your word, Lord God. Father, as we open up the Bible, Lord, I'm asking that you'll open our ears. That you'll renew our minds. That you give us eyes to see. Father, that we would experience transformation in Jesus' name this day, once again. So, Father, I ask that you would empty me of anything of myself. Lord, and your Holy Spirit would just rise up and overflow out of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, you know, we sang a song called Resurrecting, I think it is. I could have that wrong. Resurrecting. I'm getting nods from the back of the room. Thank you, worship team. We sang that song at the start of the service. And God spoke to me when I heard we were going to sing that song this morning. He said, Craig, I want to use the message this morning to resurrect some things in my people this day. I want to resurrect passion. I want to resurrect purpose. And I want to break some chains for those of you that think you haven't got a platform to be God's salt and God's light, to do what he's asking you and I to do. I believe there's people in this room that have had their passion crushed. Or maybe it's through repetition. Maybe it's just through the fact that, man, I just do this as part of my routine. That spark of passion that you once had, it's kind of faded. Maybe it's a little bit jaded. And you find yourself doing all these things, but you don't actually know why. I believe the Lord wants to speak to you this morning. So be prepared. See, I've been reading my Bible since the last time I was in front of you. Hopefully that brings a peace and a comfort to some of you in this place. See, I love being challenged by the Word of God. I enjoy the idea of being transformed by it. But it's the walking out. It's where the rubber hits the road. It's the practical outworking of these biblical principles that really, really cement transformation in my life. I wonder if it's the same for you, that you get all excited reading the Word of God. You go, I want to do that. And then it comes the time to step out, to put your foot on the accelerator, and it's a little bit more challenging than you think. But this morning, once again, the purpose of my message is not only to inspire you in this room through the Word of God, but for you to take that word and for it to be foundational in your day-to-day living of a Christian life. You see, the Bible tells us to be prepared to speak out, to share, to live, to preach the word of God when we're in good times and also the times that are not so good. It uses the terms in and out of season. You can find that in 2 Timothy 4. I think that's going to come up on the screen. Let's read that. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word of God. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And it's this preparation in and out of season that I want to use as my start point this morning. See, this morning, I want to share with you a teaching on stirring your passion to fulfill your purpose using the platform that you've been given. You see, stirring your passion to fulfill your purpose plays an integral role in the mission of many heroes within the Bible. Time and time again, those with the ability to combine their passion and purpose saw the promises of God come to pass. So I want to break down those three P's this morning: passion, purpose, and platform, and how they can all, how all three of them can be used to frame, to bring fame even to the name of Jesus. So the first one, passion. You know, it's often misinterpreted. It's often misunderstood when we speak about it in modern day Western culture. And in the lead up to Easter, the word passion is going to be used with some regularity. You're going to hear that word passion in some church circles. Some denominations name the week between Palm Sunday through to Easter Sunday as Passion Week or Holy Week. You might also see this movie. It came out a few years ago. It's called The Passion of the Christ. And that might return to your TV screens. They often play it around Easter. And you might see it trending. Some of you younger people might see it trending on your streaming services and just be like, what's this all about? So passion, it's actually important and symbolic for Christians, particularly at Easter. It's also a word that's used by the world too, very often. You see, the world often tells us to follow your passion. See, I remember not all that long ago when my careers advisor at school, I was about to leave school, and he said to me, he said, find something you're passionate about, Craig, and go do it. And I've spoken to people, you know, even just recently, and they're looking for a sea change. And they tell me about that they're going to explore their passion. And the underpinning of following your passion is often based upon your own positive feelings. You see, if we're doing something we're passionate about, it must be making us happy, right? And if it makes me feel real, real good, well, why wouldn't I do that more, right? Well, I did a little bit of homework and I checked out the dictionary meaning of the word passion in the Oxford Dictionary. It says this: passion, a strong and barely controllable emotion. You know, that makes sense, right? Hopefully you can, that resonates with you. However, the Bible uses the word passion as a derivative from the Latin word pati. And it means to endure or to suffer. Oh, wow. Who wants to get all passionate now? Me too. Take a big, deep breath. So for those of you who have struggled, like me, to understand why are we using this word passion around Easter, I hope that suddenly hearing that definition and how it's used in the Bible suddenly makes sense. Passion Week, or the Passion of the Christ. Endurance Week. Suffering Week. The Suffering of Christ. So suddenly that word passion takes on this extra meaning for us. And this is where I want to bring purpose into play. You see, the Oxford Dictionary defines the word purpose as the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. It also says it's a person's sense of resolve or determination. You see, following your passion without knowing your purpose can lead you in any number of directions. You see, I want to give you some examples of this. If you ask me to follow my passion just prior to lunchtime, you see, I end up following my nose over towards Gracie's Cafe because I have a little stirring up in me about arancini or chicken parmigiana. Yeah, I hear that front row. I hear that preach. You see, if you ask me to follow my passion on a Saturday night, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking Saturday night, he's all about preach prep, isn't he? He's going to sit down and get in front of his Bible. What do you mean you weren't thinking that? I see you guys. Judging me for my love of football. You see, on a Saturday night, you tell me to do something I'm passionate about, I'm going to sit down in front of the box and hopefully my team will be on it. I'm going to cheer them on. Who are they? You don't need to know again, do you? I don't want to bring fame to their name this morning. You see, it's like a child enjoying dressing up. I take my little boy to the zoo quite often. And when we get to the zoo, there's this little area called Zoo HQ. And it's an area where kids can dress up like you're a zoo doctor. So we get towards Zoo HQ, and my little boy just goes bang. He's running. His eyes light up. He's running towards like the big coat that the zoo doctors wear, and he like manages to get it on him. He's all dressed up and he's got this kind of stethoscopy type thing around his neck, and he's running around as though he's a zoo doctor. He's quite passionate. You can see it in his eyes. You can see it in his mannerisms when he's dressed up like a zoo doctor. It's like, check me out, I'm ready. But you know what? If a wounded animal was to limp past him and needed some help, you know, he'd have all of the passion but not be able to fulfill any purpose for that animal. He isn't actually a vet, for those of you that don't know. He's about 2 years old. You know, another area maybe you can relate, technology. I love my technology. You know, we can get so engrossed by our phones, our consoles, our tablets. You know, you can spend hours surfing, browsing in different apps, aimlessly. And you know, sometimes when we get engrossed in that way and then suddenly we look up, it's like, whoa, is that the time? That whole day just passed me by and I didn't actually achieve any particular outcome. You see, passion comes in many different shapes and forms, and devoid of purpose, it can produce any number of results or even no result at all. Therefore, it's of absolute importance that we hone and direct our passions to fulfill our purpose. So what should our purpose be on this earth? Well, the Bible provides this clarity through multiple instructions, multiple commandments. So let's take a look at some. You know, we can assume that the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verse 1 to 17, you know, that provides a start point, a bit of a framework for us to live within. I want to jump into Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. You see, the author thought to be King Solomon writes this. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. You see, we're to hold our relationship with Christ highly and glorify him by keeping his commands. There's more instructions in 1 Peter 2:9. It says this, for you are God's chosen people. You're a chosen people, my bad. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. We're to show others God's goodness as his chosen people. But there's more. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. He's got some things that he wants us to do. He's got a mission for each and every one of us. He's planned it. Jesus himself gives us another instruction in John 13:34. He says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I've loved you. You should love each other. You see, all of these instructions are succinctly encapsulated by the Great Commission in Matthew 28. You know, I love this verse. I go back to it time and time again when I preach. I'm going to read it to you again. It says, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So with all that said, this is the point that we often reach where maybe you're thinking that you'll need to go and join some kind of big evangelism network or go to Bible college or, you know, dedicate many, many years and months and hours in deep meditation with the Lord just to give yourself a chance of fulfilling your purpose. And if he's calling you to do those things, so be it. But it can look daunting and it can make us feel a little uncomfortable to look at our lives and try and make the necessary changes in order to fulfill our purpose. Maybe when you think of doing all of those things that Christ calls you to do, maybe you think, man, I don't even know where to begin. How do I do that? where do I start? You know, I've had conversations with people in this room. You know, they're concerned that they're going to have to do something absurd or take some kind of enormous life-changing action in order to realize the purpose that God has for them. Well, I got some good news for anyone that's thinking that. Did you know? Have you heard? God knows exactly where you are, even right now. And he can use you in the exact same circumstances that you find yourself in today. Don't take my word for it. It says so in Psalm 139. I'll read you the start of that. I read it a couple of weeks ago. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. If that just speaks to your soul, you know, I read this a couple of weeks ago when we opened the service. You know, just get into Psalm 139, read that thing all the way through. Be reassured that your God knows exactly who you are, what you do, and he loves you. God knows exactly where we're at. So, you know, whether you're a doctor, a nurse, a lawyer, a farmer, a gardener, a student, a pastor, an administrator, a mechanic, a teacher, if you're unemployed, or whether your particular job never makes lists that I make like this, I don't know where life might have taken you, but I wonder, are you ready to attach your passion to your purpose? Are you ready to use your God-given passion for his purpose? You see, I'm serious now, church. I'm not talking about your feelings. I'm not talking about just in this room. I'm sing real loud. I'm lift my hands. I'm going to clap away. I feel so good doing it here. I'm not talking about that. I'm not saying, why don't you attach all your good feelings towards your purpose? I'm talking about a Jesus passion. You see, it didn't matter if he felt good about his purpose. It didn't matter that it wasn't his purpose to tickle the ears of the Pharisees. And because he didn't tickle their ears, it caused them to see him as a threat. You see, it didn't matter when he was captured by the guards in the garden. It didn't matter when he was beaten and whipped and bruised. You see, Jesus was in season and Jesus was out of season. Rain, hail or shine, he knew his purpose and he attached his passion, his endurance and his suffering to it. And he went about fulfilling the purpose that the Father had for him. You know, he said, not my will, but yours be done. Those words, that one line from Jesus, suddenly I see his passion. Suddenly I see the Son of God going, you know what? I can probably think of other ways this is going to hurt. I'm going to suffer. But he knew his purpose. Absolutely. 100%. He couldn't be swayed to the left or the right. He stayed on mission. He said, your will be done, Lord. God wants to use you exactly where you are. See, it doesn't matter if you're having a good day or a bad day today. He wants you to fulfill his purpose in your life. And he wants you to use the platform you've already been given, whatever that looks like, to fulfill it. You know, I want to share with you an example of God using his people in any which way, in any walk of life, in any platform, in some of the most obscure professions, to bring glory to his name. You see, there was this amazing example about 12 days ago. This example came at an event that some of you might know and others are just like, what are you talking about? It's called the Super Bowl. It's an American football event. That silence suggests to me that no one knows what I'm talking about in here. This is good. That's what I was hoping for. I said obscure professions, didn't I? So for those of you that don't know, it's an American sporting event. It's the culmination of the American football calendar in the US. And it's okay if you have no idea what that is. You see, it has limited reach to an Australian audience, but it always ranks as the biggest US televised event annually. This year, over 103 million viewers watched that game in America alone. Believe it or not, whether you've heard about it or not, it's got a massive global reach. You might have heard that getting an advert, 30 seconds of airtime during the Super Bowl, that's the highest it will ever cost in American TV for 30 seconds of advertising space. If you're in the Super Bowl halftime show adverts, my goodness, you're paying some big bucks, because they know that over 100 million people just in the States alone are going to be watching that. You see, the game itself saw these rank outsiders called the Philadelphia Eagles. They beat the red hot favorites, the New England Patriots. But you know what? I'm not telling you this story because it's a great tale of the underdog, but actually because the Philadelphia Eagles have made waves all the way through this season within their sphere of influence as one of the most faith-filled teams in football. So I want to show you just a little glimpse of how this team, who had no history, they had no culture of being passionate, purpose, Jesus followers, transformed into exactly that. Let's check out the screens.
I can only give the praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for giving me this opportunity.
I mean, glory to God first and foremost. We wouldn't be here without him.
Unbelievable. All glory to God.
Separate journeys led them to the NFL and the Philadelphia Eagles. They sought an outlet to come together and created a way to share their faith.
Chapel for us here is that in the NFL, since our Sundays are taken up, you can't go to church. So you have the opportunity to attend chapel, which is like a small church service, and we're able to get our word in.
On every Monday night, we have a couples Bible study. We have a Thursday night team Bible study, and then Saturday nights, we actually get together the night before the game and just kind of pray, talk through the word, what guys have been reading, what they're struggling with, and just kind of keep it real with each other. To have that here in an NFL facility like this, it's really special.
How important is it for you to use your platform to glorify God?
I mean, it's huge. Our number one goal on this earth is to make disciples. That's the only job that we are pretty much, we want to do. So faith in football this Sunday is huge. It's a platform that we have to draw people to the word, to Jesus. It's something that we don't take for granted by any means. It's obviously responsibility, but we love that.
The major thing I found out is they're regular people. I don't care how much money you give them. I don't care how much fame a person has. If they don't know who they are inside, it really doesn't matter. Really, what I preach to the players is that football is a platform. It's not your purpose.
Son and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. New man.
Faith alone in Jesus is what leads to salvation, and then the works come out of your salvation. See, Christianity is the only religion in the world where you can't earn right standing with God. You can't earn heaven. You can't earn your afterlife. You can't earn good karma, whatever other religions think. It's the only religion in the world you can't earn it, because it's already been earned. Jesus already earned it. It's all about accepting Jesus, and that's it. Don't miss that point. Miss that point.
So, church, you know what? You can clap if you want. I'm pretty sure none of you know who those guys are. I'm pretty sure if they walk past you in the street, like straight after the service, they'd just walk past you and you'd like, don't know who they are. You see, these guys, they realized that they might be playing some obscure brand of a crazy American game called football where there's just so much padding that what's the point? You know, like, just play rugby, guys, come on. But they realize they have a platform, as obscure as it is. American football's got nothing to do with Jesus. It's got nothing to do with Jesus. But these guys recognize their purpose. They go, you know what? Football's just, it's just a platform. It's just a platform. My purpose is to go out, preach the good news, make disciples. I showed you that clip because I thought, you know what? Not many people are going to know the Philadelphia Eagles. Not many people are going to care. And I show you that clip because, you know what? I kind of think, and I've heard it in this room, I've heard it from people in this room, you know, who am I to preach to someone? Why would Jesus use me? I don't speak well. I go against the grain. How could I be used? And you know what? I didn't show you that video because they won. I didn't show you that video because for the first time in their 57-year history, the Philadelphia Eagles actually won something. I showed you that video because even they realize that the blessing of winning, that's just a byproduct. That's just a byproduct of faith in Jesus Christ. You see, these guys were in season and out of season. It didn't matter that they won. They've been preaching all year round. There's a number of different videos. I wanted to show you another one because, you know, like at the start, that was at the end of the Super Bowl. The first guy that you saw, that was their coach. Straight up. Coach, what do you got to say? You just won the Super Bowl for the first time in 57 years. Speak to the people of Philadelphia. He's like, yeah, yeah, I will do that. But I got to give thanks to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These guys, there are other videos. They're preaching. They're bringing the word. It's straight up. They know their word. They're quoting scripture. I encourage you, you know, if you're interested in some of the Philadelphia Eagles, go and check them out online, you know, because there's loads of articles and videos that they've done to bring fame to the name of Jesus. They're unashamedly sharing their faith. And you know, this has been happening for years and years and years and years and years now. And you know what? It's our turn. It's our turn. See, the Bible is peppered with these unknowns. who use their platform or lack thereof that Jesus has given them. In Exodus 14, Moses leads the Israelite people through the Red Sea. Miraculous. Yet only a few chapters prior, we hear of his abandonment as a baby. And then later on in Exodus 4, during the burning bush kind of moment, Moses says to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been. And I'm not now. Even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied. I get my words tangled." And then the Lord asked Moses, "Who makes a person's mouth?" Wow, Moses is getting told right here. "Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord?" What an answer. "Now go. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say." But Moses again pleaded, "Lord, please send anyone else." You see, Moses knew of his own insecurities, and he was by no means special in the eyes of man. But God used Moses, who obediently submitted to God's will and led the Israelites to the promised land thereafter. You know, I think of Paul, the writer of so many New Testament letters. You know, like, he wasn't some kind of highfalutin guy when he was writing those letters. Some of you will know what he was doing. He had that prestigious job, tent maker. You see, he was a tent maker to pay his way. But he knew his purpose, and therefore he put his zest and his passion into it for the Lord's glory. And you can step that back and go, "Oh, so what was he doing before that?" Oh, well, actually, let me tell you about Paul. Once upon a time, he was the chief persecutor of Christians. God can use anyone. You see, Paul references his purpose in his second letter to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3:10, it says, "But you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance." It kind of encapsulates that passion and purpose just in those 3-4 lines. So, church, how are you going to show those around you what your purpose is? How will they know your faith, your patience, your love, and your endurance? See, God wants to harness your passion this morning. God wants you to recognize your platform this morning. And those scriptures that I shared earlier outline your purpose in it all. You see, there are some byproducts of stirring your passion to fulfill his purpose using the platform that Jesus has already given you. You see, when we use our passion for his purpose, we often begin to understand what our priorities are in life. We start to action the things that actually matter. You know, you think, you guys know I love my football. God's dealing with me. I'm not even joking. I love it. I've grown up with that. It's a passion of mine. God's going, "Yeah, so what's the purpose in that, Craig? What you got for me?" He's challenging me on the very things that I love. I'm walking around football stadiums now, wondering where my divine appointment is. All the time. He's challenging me. He sends me to Australia because on a Saturday night when the games are on, guess what he wants me to do? Guess what I was doing last night? I'm preach prepping. I'm in the Word of God. No. You don't have to clap me. I'm saying that to you because it's the very thing that maybe you hold dearly. Maybe he doesn't want to take it away. Maybe he wants to use that platform for you to bring glory to him. When we start to action the things that matter the most to us, it brings on my second point. You see, when we use our passion for his purpose, it brings out the best in us. See, when we're passionate about anything, we tend not to do it half-heartedly. You see, we lean in, we commit. Our attitude becomes Christ-like. Youth leaders. Tobin preached my entire message before I'd even got up. Philippians 2. The attitude of Christ. You see, we can come on a Friday night. I know how it is. You have tough weeks. You have tough days. It's the end of a busy week coming into church on a Friday night. You know what? Jesus cares about our attitude. He wants our first fruit, not the tail end scraps of it. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. And that's why you can't do it in your own strength, but only in his. Take heed, youth leaders. You got a great year ahead and a great leader to lead you. Humble man, peacemaker. And my third point is on those days, maybe you don't have them. Maybe you're just chipper all the time. But I have some days where I'm a little bit less than my best. I got a 2-year-old boy that sometimes wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning, sets me straight. It's like God saying, okay, we're going to work on your attitude this morning, Craig. You see, maybe when we're having one of those days, whatever that might look like to you, maybe on those days where you're feeling a little bit out of season, you see, if you've attached your passion to your purpose, you're still going to be on purpose. You're still going to be on purpose. Even when you feel a little bit less than your best. If you know what your purpose is, you're still going to operate within it, even on your less than good days. So take heart. Your toil is not in vain. Can I get the worship team up, please? So this morning, church, I want to wrap up here. I hope there's a challenge within this for you. But I'm asking you, have you lost your passion? Have you lost it? You know, familiarity can breed contempt. You know, this is just something that we do. I'm kind of like a little bit faded. The sun's kind of like taking a bit of the colour out of my clothing. You know how it is here in Australia. Did you forget the purpose that God has for you? Did you lose that somewhere along the line? Because I gave you those scriptures so you'd remember them, so you'd recall them. And are you scared? Like I've been many, many times, of what it might look like to fulfill God's purpose in your life. You know, how can I do that in my workplace? How can I do that with my neighbors? How can I do that in my school? How can I do that with my unchurched friends? See, God's positioned each and every one of us in a sphere of influence. He's not looking to elevate any of us. He's just going, yeah, I planted you there. Psalm 139, I know exactly where you're at. On that street in Forestfield, Kenwick, Maddington, High Wycombe, Maida Vale, Carlisle. Anyone from Carlisle here? He's got you. He's got you exactly where he wants you. Whether you're feeling in season or out of season, he wants to use you. Good times or bad times, he wants to work through you. Same power that conquered the grave lives in you and I. I want to talk to those people that might be scared. How do I do that? Having your Moses moment. I have my Moses moment at about 9:25 every Sunday that I preach. Jesus wants to deposit his peace into you today. That, you know, you wouldn't be overwhelmed. You wouldn't be all twisted up, kind of going, how do I do it? He wants this day to be a day of resurrection power. You see, he has you exactly where he wants you to be, so take heart. And he wants to stir your passion for his purpose today. He wants to resurrect your understanding of his purpose in your life this morning. So church, why don't we stand? Why don't we sing? I sing Resurrected.